Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
Romans chapter 1. Look there in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because they, verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Everybody say, showed it. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power, everybody say, power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because, now listen to this, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Wow. Notice that. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Let me read this in the Passion. Listen how it reads in the Passion. For God in heaven unveils his holy anger, breaking forth against every form of sin, both toward ungodliness that lives in the hearts and evil actions. For the wickedness of humanity deliberately smothers the truth and keeps people from acknowledging the truth about God. In reality, the truth of God is known instinctively. For God has embedded his knowledge inside every human heart. Opposition to truth cannot be excused on the basis of ignorance. Because from the creation of the world, the invisible qualities of God's nature have been made visible, such as his eternal power and transcendence. He has made his wonderful attributes easily perceived. For seeing the visible makes us understand the invisible. So then, this leaves everyone without excuse. Throughout human history, the fingerprints of God were upon them, yet they refused to honor him as God or even be thankful for his kindness. Now, the reason it's Thanksgiving, so I wanted to talk a little bit about thankfulness and how many times we think, take it for granted, we just think we're thankful and sometimes we're not. Well, I'm thankful, brother. Well, are you really? And what does it mean to be thankful? Amen. I mean, you know, people, oh, yeah, I'm thankful, I'm saved, I'm thankful. You know, I begin to think about, actually, I've kind of had a crazy year, a wild year, a very spiritual year, and I have become so thankful. Everything that has been happening to me for quite a while, and that doesn't mean the good things, just the good things and the bad things, everything that has been happening to me has been on such another level of, how can I say this, intensity and drama, that the good times and the high places have been the best and the highest I've ever had, but some of the down times and the bad times have been some of the lowest I've ever had. It's amazing. But in the midst of it all, I've learned to remain and increase my thankfulness, not just for what I have, not just for who I know, but literally my thankfulness for the life that God has given me. Because when it comes to reality, you should be able to look back. Even if you just got saved yesterday, amen, you should be able to look back and become extremely thankful in your heart that you've been rescued by God. One guy said, I thought my search for God was over till I realized I was never searching for God. God found me. God found you. God found you and rescued you. But you know, this scripture is telling us right here that even if God would not have found you and rescued you, the reason that you would have ended up in a place of eternal separation from God, or we can say it like this, being kind of rough, the reason you go to hell or went to hell was not because God did not make available a witness to you. See, I've heard people just, you know, get real skeptical. It's amazing to the depth that scorners can go and they have no understanding of the word. Well, Pastor, how can you say that people, what about people that in Africa, people in the Amazon that's never heard the gospel? They're without excuse. The Bible says that God makes known his entire Godhead, his power, his ability. And I've heard testimony after testimony after testimony to where somebody, somewhere, if they had any inkling whatsoever that there was a God that loved them, God made sure to get to them. When I was in Bible school, there were two guys that came to our Bible school that had made a, I forget what they were doing, but they'd made a bunch of money for the purpose of going out and preaching. And so they went to Cambodia right after the Khmer Rouge when the camps were there, and it was just horrible. And in one of them, they were holding a crusade. They had all the miracles. God was doing awesome things. Thousands and thousands of people were getting healed. And in one particular crusade meeting, a stir began in the crowd. And so they surmised that some miracle had taken place. And an elderly man was brought forward, put up on the stage, and he walked up and he took the microphone. And he said he was 85 years old. He said, "I'm 85 years old, but from a child I knew there was a God that loved me. And today I found out his name was Jesus." Well, where did he get that? Where did he get that knowledge that God loved him? Creation sings the glory of God. The sunrises, the sunsets, the order that God puts into nature, everything that it preaches, it proclaims. There is a God of purpose. There is a God of order. There is a God of light. I mean, all of that. Then you see in the midst of that, all this other negative stuff. Then you realize there's a conflict in the world. There's a conflict. And when you begin to realize there is a good, there is a bad, there is a righteous, there is an evil, there is a faith. There is a fear and a hate. There is a faith and a love. People have got to, you begin to see that. And that gives you, what does that give you? That gives you a choice. That gives you a choice. And in my own spirit and in my own heart, I begin to see very clearly now how that choice towards God for man is thankfulness. Just being thankful. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. Now, notice this. Go to Psalms 100. That's a good one. Psalms 100. Let me get over there. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Everybody say the Lord. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, do you ever open the Bible and find scriptures like that, read it, meditate on it? That helps you understand that you belong to God. Hallelujah. I don't belong to anybody. Well, that's your problem. Amen. That's your problem, is you don't recognize that all of existence is bound up in ownership. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, first of all, God owns everything. He owns the earth. The earth is the Lord. Everything in the earth, he says, the silver and gold are mine. Amen? And then he created a race of beings and placed them on the earth and gave them their innocence and their independence, and they blew it. So he had to give them righteousness and make them dependent. You say, what do you mean, give them righteousness and make them dependent? He gave them righteousness so that they can become dependent upon him. Amen? Now, so David, he's writing, he's seeing this, he's understanding this. He says, we didn't make ourselves, we didn't do this ourselves. We are not we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter, everybody say enter. So there's an access word, glory to God. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Now, anyone can look at their life and can become unthankful, anyone. Especially if you put it up against the life of other people. And that's what's the problem with most people like that, I remember when I was traveling a lot and working hard. and helping build other ministries and helping build other churches. And being around a lot of ministers, had a lot of wealth. I mean, a lot, what I would call a lot of excessive wealth, you know? And I remember one time just being so dissatisfied because I was working, it seemed like I was working so hard and getting less results. And these guys weren't hardly doing nothing, and they were just raking it in. And you get around two or three of them that may be a little unrighteous or a little, you know, how could you say, maybe not as have as much integrity as others, and they seem to be making double. So you start getting dissatisfied. You start thinking, well, Lord, you know, I'm working just as hard, maybe harder. I'm going out there in places that they're not even going, that I'm going, you know. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you better get your eyes off all that, or you'll be just like Eve in the garden. I said, what do you mean, Lord? He said, that's exactly what the devil did. He got her eyes off everything that she did have and get her eyes on the one thing she couldn't have. And see, I couldn't have that. I couldn't have wealth like that. I couldn't steal and manipulate from God's people. I could never do that. Man, if I was in the ministry 15, 16 years before I even dared to even take an offering. I mean, I'll let the pastors do that. I'll let them other guys deal with that stuff. I stayed away from that kind of stuff. But here's the deal. Everyone must realize when God grows you up into things, gives you responsibility to live on a greater level, and says, look, here's faith. Here's the results of the faith you did have. Here's where I want you to go. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to have. You've got to realize, yeah, you'll go through the process and the drama of that, the ups and downs, the victories and the so-called defeats, because they're really not defeats. Many times when you fail, that's just a place where you actually step up. Ought to get a better amen. Because if you think that you're successful, that your successes build character into you, they don't build near as much character into you as your failures do. Because God has to get you out of your failures by His Word and by His Spirit, and that creates His character on the inside of you. Amen? So at the end of the day, you realize everything that I've gone through in this to go from the authoring of my faith to the finishing of my faith, ain't none of it had nothing to do with me. He did it all. He provided the Word. He provided the Spirit. He knows how to get it from the unseen to the seen. He knows how to keep me encouraged. He knows how to give me revelation. He knows how to give me a prophecy when I need it, or a word of wisdom, or a word of knowledge. He knows how to help me when I get out beyond my faith. He knows how to draw me back when I'm not doing the right thing, going the wrong direction. He knows it all. He supplied that my salvation is of God. The faith to get salvation, that's of God. The Spirit that comes into my, that's of God. Heaven, what's that? That's of God. You begin to think about everything that we are, everything that we have, everything that is planned for us, everything we'll ever do. It's all of Him and about Him. We are His children, His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Now you think about that, and that will make you very thankful, or you can think about what you don't have. And see, Satan has manipulated the masses based on dissatisfaction. Man, you start taking that one word and you lay that up against the template of what's gone on with man for 6,000 years since the fall, and I'm telling you what, it doesn't matter what level you put that on. You let someone get to this level and they'll get dissatisfied no matter how high that level may be. Money, fame, we've seen it. We've experienced it. But you can listen. It does. When you start saying things like, well, no, I didn't do none of this. This is God. You start things, man, I could never. It's amazing how it chops at the ego. Because we want to take some credit here, man. I mean, we've been coming to church and we've been praying. And man, we give our money and we sacrifice. And God's going, you just turn around and walk away. You say, why? You ain't thankful. You're not thankful. You're thinking that you're doing something, that you're praying some prayer that's so powerful, or that you're walking in some kind of faith that's so unique. No, what it is you got a heart for God, so you're in church on Wednesday night when a lot of people at home based in a turkey watching a movie. But you're here because there's a hunger on the inside of you, and God sees that, and you've been pursuing God because when He caught you, He did something in your heart that made you fall in love with Him. Now you're here tonight, and you're saying, maybe that guy will say something. Maybe there'll be something in that meeting. Maybe there'll be something there that it will take and affirm in me the reality of this good, awesome God. See, that's your hunger and that's your dissatisfaction. That'll keep you alive. That'll keep you serving God. Do you know how many churches don't even have Wednesday night services anymore? I'm talking about Holy Ghost churches. I'm talking about churches that teach the Word. Don't even have Wednesday night services anymore. Amen? And most of them just have an abbreviated Sunday morning service and put out a lot of stuff on the media and, you know, make sure you send in your tithes and offering. We love you, you know. No, that's not what this is all about. This is an interaction between God and people and people because of God, who God calls family. And when you realize that and realize that you actually have a Heavenly Father that acts like your family, and He acts like He's a father and treats you like a child, you'll begin to realize how to begin to take your place in thankfulness in your heart. And I'm guaranteeing you start writing what you're thankful about down on a list, you won't find enough ink and enough paper. Amen. Notice this scripture. Oh, let's finish this one. I like this one. This one's cool. Know ye not that He is God? That He has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now let me just help you, because a lot of people, they really think they've done something or are doing something. You're sitting there in a chair alive right now. Everybody's breathing, I hope. Let me look around. Sometimes it's hard to tell when you preach. You heard the story about, you know, a couple sitting on the row there and the husband fell asleep, was sleeping. So the pastor said to the wife, wake him up, please. And the wife said, you put him to sleep, you wake him up. What was I talking about before that? I shouldn't have stopped. Help me out. What was that? And we are the sheep of His pasture. That's right. We're the sheep of... Thank you for reminding me of that. Oh, yeah, I remember now. Notice. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. He has made us and not we are. So you're sitting there, you're alive, and you're breathing. Are you breathing? Everybody take a good breath. Now, try one without God. Amen? You see what I'm saying? Try one without God. Here's the deal. He supplies the oxygen for you to breathe. And He supplies a way for you to breathe it, to keep you alive. Do you get that? And then He gave you existence on the earth to breathe this air in lungs that He created for you, gave you to breathe the air that He created. Got it? Set you on a planet that's spinning. What's that? Saw the other spinning at certain miles an hour and blah, blah, blah. But positioned us in the universe where that if we were 100 miles closer to the sun, we'd turn into an ash and burn up the entire surface of the earth. Or if we were 100 miles further away, we'd freeze solid. And here we spin. Like this, going around an object that's sitting stationary in the middle of our galaxy. Well, what just happened? Yeah, and it just keeps happening. He upholds all things by His mighty word of power. Come on, church. And so here we stand upon this planet, spinning around this sun, breathing this air, and we think we have anything to do with it. Now think about that for a minute. That helps you understand this great drama of life that God has given us. And that really the whole purpose of it was not to build these great universities like Harvard and Princeton and not to this great society of great people upon the earth and all of this and to go to the moon and to go to Mars and to this and to learn how to, you know, brush our teeth better. Amen. And then we've tried to do what? We've tried to make ourselves better. I'm talking about the human race. We've got to make ourselves better. So everything God gives the human race to make itself better with, they take it and make things worse. Amen. So what they're saying is, we know God, we're using your lungs to breathe, your air to live on, your planet to do all of this, but we're dissatisfied. What we want to do is what we want to do. Ha 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 ha. So there's this great conflict. And God says, really, all you need to do is you just see who I am. Just get a glimpse in your heart of who I am. And you will become so thankful that I've even allowed you to exist. Not only that you've existed at the time in which you're existing. Not only that you're experiencing the life you're experiencing. And the life you're experiencing, I have found you because I have been looking for you for 2,000 years. I knew you would come on the earth. I knew the time you would come on the earth because, see, you are part of me. I am the Father's spirits. You're part of me. So I put you on this earth with a great hope in me. This is what God says. With a great hope in me. That in that life, I could find you. Because I'll search for you. That's what he told us. Amen? And then when I find you, I'm going to treat you like I said I would. I'm going to make you my own. Make you my child. I'm not going to make you a servant like I did a nation. Amen? And let me help you with all of that. You listen, the governments of this earth are corrupt. All of this garbage that's going on, that's all corruption and war and hate and filth and all kinds of garbage that have gone on for 6,000 years. But don't you forget that when God says something, he doesn't change it. Amen. And when they labeled that little strip of land in 1948 Israel and returned boundaries that were biblical, it was proof that God again was stepping out of eternity and coming back into a time clock. He initiated something in 1948. Amen. Look what he's tried to do spiritually since then. Great healing revival, great charismatic renewal, all these different awakenings and revivals. That we went and saw the movie about the Jesus people. Our family was involved in a lot of that back over in California. I mean, it's amazing how God has come after the earth. Now we have literally Christian broadcasting on the earth that beings on the earth are to the earth the gospel 24/7. The gospel is being preached to the earth. It is. They didn't have the technology for that in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. They do now. They do now. Amen? And God is beginning to do what? His grace is beginning to manifest around the world. Oh, something happened the other day, and I thought to myself, my God, thank God we pray. Something was going to happen and did not happen. Did I say that to you? I was talking to somebody. It was on the way home from Winnie the other day. We were talking about that. But what was that, Lord? And I immediately knew we were praying, and I had told the church that we may not can stop this, but we can make it a whole lot less, and Lord, help me to think of that before I finish. Now, it's really cool, something that God... Let me finish this. I've just got a couple of minutes left. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Now, real quick, 116, Psalms 116, and then we'll close in Hebrews just for a moment. 116, I like this scripture. Verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. Now, I wanted to come right to this scripture and mention this. Now, thanksgiving, remember, say thankful. How many thankful for what you do have? I mean, you're thankful that you're saved, that God has filled you with the Holy Ghost, that whatever the material situation you're in, it's improving because of your faith, because you love God, because God's working and acting in your life. Amen? But now notice this term, the what? A sacrifice. Thanksgiving in its purest form, as intended by God, is a release of faith because faith has empowered you to believe beyond the sensual realm. Therefore, because of that, you are thankful for what God has given you and you rejoice in the substance, not the evidence. The evidence is not there. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But faith is the substance. 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 Amen. You see, it's not faith is not the evidence. Faith is the substance. Faith is the substance. So you get real happy. You start thanking God for what? The substance. What is your substance? The Word. See, you think your healing is evidenced by you feeling better. No. No. Your healing is evidenced by you thanking God for it when you have no evidence. Now, I had people challenge me over the years. That faith doctrine, that's just a bunch of denial. We've never said that. Faith is not denial. Faith is application of the Word to a problem. I don't deny someone's sick. That's a fact. But I stand on the truth of the Word of God. By His stripes you are healed. I don't deny somebody has a financial deficit in their life. Okay, praise God. Well, let's look at what the Word says. It says He's going to supply all of our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So people start getting revelation on the Word of God, and they begin to think, well, all of a sudden, you know, this is abstract. I'm going around saying I'm healed, saying by His stripes I'm healed. But I'll tell you, I don't think I'm getting any better. I think I'm getting worse. What you're doing is you're fighting a fight of faith and let the enemy defeat you in the mind. As long as the devil can keep you in the realm of the intellect, you will stay defeated. Because you're already defeated there. You're not going to outthink the devil. But if you can hold the devil in the realm of faith, amen, and thanksgiving, he hates you in pain to say, thank you, Father, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. He hates for you to say that. He hates for you to say, when you don't have money for Christmas this year, money for the rent, for you to put up your hand and say, Lord, I've obeyed everything I know to do in the Word. I thank you that you take care of me. You supply all of my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He does not want you to do that. He does not want you to say, thank you, Father, for your joy. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. Thank you, Father, for my salvation. I am saved and delivered from a lifestyle of sin and unrighteousness. Thank you, Father, for my righteousness. I no longer have iniquity. Thank you that you baptized me in the Holy Ghost and endued me with power. Thank you that you put your Word in me, Lord God, and by your Word I'm set free. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that your blood has cleansed me from all sin and all unrighteousness. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that heaven is my eternal city, is my eternal home, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father, you have an eternal plan for my life. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I mean, you can just go on and on and on. And if you'll live in that realm of thanksgiving and thank you that I'm a new creature. Thank you that I was crucified with Him. Thank you that I'm the righteousness of God. You take those, all of that, the more you thank Him and inject that Word in there, the more it does just what we read earlier in the passage, the more it is the fingerprint of God putting His fingerprints on you. And fingerprints on possessions denote ownership. And when Satan sees ownership, he's less likely to attack. A lot of people don't realize that. A lot of Christians look like the devil owns them. Don't get mad at me. I'm talking about a lot of them. But the good news is, you don't have to look like that. I guarantee you, there's a lot of stuff that could have happened to you that didn't because you serve God. Just because you serve God. You know, the good news about serving God, you don't have to go through everything the devil planned for you. Oh, I ought to get a better amen than that. The good thing about serving God is you don't have to go through everything the devil planned for you. Now listen to this. And what He's planned for you, understand God's already planned your victory and your recovery. Yeah. So I had to go through this and I had to go through that. But God already planned your recovery, your victory, and your recovery. Now, let's close with one scripture. Hebrews, see if I got it marked here. Here, Hebrews 13. I believe it's 13. Hebrews 13. Yeah, verse 12, Hebrews 13. I thought I marked it in this Bible too. Let me look. Yeah, here it is. Hebrews 13, verse 12. Read of the King James. Wherefore Jesus, everybody say Jesus, also that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Everybody say without the gate. Speaking of things that were offered or things that were taken outside the gate, speaking of the sacrifice of the animals that they would lay hands upon and transfer the sins of the nation and send them outside the gate. They were eaten by the predators. Amen? Now notice what it says. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, because Jesus was crucified outside the camp, outside the city on Golgotha's hill. Amen? Let me get it here again. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, for we have no continuing city, but seek one to come. Speaking of heaven. By him, therefore, let us offer, now here we go again, the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Oh, come on. Let me find, I got it here in the Passion. I was reading this in the Passion. It was really cool. I mean, start thinking about what you're so thankful for. Look, verse 12, in Jesus, our sin's sacrifice, also suffered death outside the city walls to make us holy by his own blood. So we must arise and join him outside the religious walls and bear his disgrace. You say, what do you mean by that? It's a price to pay to serve God like this. Let me just say it right up front so you'll understand this. If you get saved, if you get filled with the Holy Ghost, if you speak in other tongues, if you believe in tithing and offering, if you believe in miracles, signs, and wonders, you are a reproach to this world. And you are a reproach to religion. Religion will fight you. They will argue with you. They will tell you that God does not do miracles. They'll tell you tongues of the devil. They'll do everything that they can do to try to convince you there is no power. And that is just a tool of the devil is all it is. I've traveled all over the world for 40 years. I've been in all the continents and all the nations, and I've watched the churches, the denominations. I've watched what they do. I watch how they function. There is no revival. There's no move of God. There's no outpouring of the Holy Spirit till you find people who are saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, understand some things about redemption in the Word of God. You can find religion. You can find organization. And you can find excellence in ministry. And you can find a successful spirit. But you can't find a move of the Holy Ghost outside of what God does in this book. Amen? Go show me one. I'll go join it tomorrow. Show it to me. It ain't there. It's not there. It is a reproach. You say, I don't know what you mean by that. I watched my mom and dad here in this city for years. My dad was an attorney. My mom was a housewife. They were loved by many people, but I'm telling you, there were a lot of people on this island they were reproached to. They were an absolute reproach. Because everywhere they went, they didn't have to say anything. They were nice, they loved people, but their life, just their life and the way they lived it and other people seeing how they lived their life, it literally convinced them and convicted them of their own unrighteousness. Others, see, a lot of people don't know this about mom and pop. Others would reach out to them. They had a Catholic prayer group. Remember that, Cheryl? They had a Catholic prayer group. My mom and dad, I went to that prayer group right after I got back to the Lord. I think they did it on Tuesday nights every week. And it was in a house over here off, I think, 29th Street. And I remember the first time I was going, I walked in there and thought, glory. I felt like I was in one of them bars down on the Fifth Ward. Me, mom, and dad, we was the only white folks there. Everybody there was full of the Holy Ghost. Did you get that? And mom and dad taught them the word. Those people were on fire for God. They could pray. Those old ladies in there, there was about 20 of them. They'd get to praying in the Holy Ghost, and that place would, that old, you know, them old rickety houses, that place would get to shaking, man. I mean, they were full of the Spirit of God. Did you know people on this island despised that? They despised that. But you know how Pops was. He was like that to everybody. He just loved them. He just loved them. There is a reproach, but you've got to understand the price for bearing the reproach of the name of Jesus is awesome, but the reward is magnificent. Now notice, let me finish. Oh man, I've run over time. Are you liking this tonight? Is anybody thankful? By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The fruit of our confession is our thanksgiving to God. Now, for years, y'all know I've taught you and taught you and taught you this dynamic of faith. You get the word in your mouth and you feed your heart faith when you don't need it. Faith for healing. Faith for pride. Thank you, Father. By the stripes of Jesus, my Savior and my healer, I'm the healed of God. Day after day, week after week. Thank you, Father. By his stripes, I'm healed. I've been delivered from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Thank you. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells, abides in me. It quickens. It makes alive. Not my glorified body, my death doom, my mortal body. Don't need no healing in a glorified body. Amen. Your physical body, God can quicken your physical body and heal your body. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. No pain, no discomfort. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my... I forget not your benefits. Who forgiveth all iniquity? Who healeth all disease? Who redeems my life? So you do that week after week, day after day, month after... Then one day, you're walking along and boom. What happens? You're tempted. You're tempted to what? Be sick. That temptation comes in all kinds of form. Pain, discomfort, all kinds of symptoms. Now, is that you? Is that you? Are you a sick person? See, that's most, well, I'm sick. See, they immediately identify and bring it into their life. Amen? But see, if you're being taught the word and understand the dynamics of the fruit of your lips, fruit of your lips, fruit of your lips, fruit of your lips. What are the fruit? What is he talking about? Didn't I just teach a week ago about being the garden of God? Where does the fruit come from? How is it used? Come on, church. It's really simple. Where does the fruit come from? How is it used? It comes up out of the garden of God that you've planted, that which is growing in your life. You begin to give thanks. You begin to thank God. You begin to worship him. Yeah, the world don't like it. Religion don't like it. But the good news is your heavenly Father likes it. He smiles on you. He gives you favor. He blesses you. And he does exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask, which makes you do what? Thank him even more. Now listen, don't ever get like this. Well, Pastor Rusty, he knows my heart. Except for those. Everybody else, it's the fruit of your lips. Sacrifice of praise. Get out of your comfort zone. You shouted for the Cowboys, shout for Jesus. Give him your glory. Give him your dance. Give him whatever you need to give him. Make it a sacrifice of praise. But let the fruit of your lips, the fruit of your lips, because your lips can produce bitter fruit. Amen? Now, think about this. See, I can tell you, I can talk about that dynamic. About going around and saying it over and over and over and over and over and over. And then believing that that's... And then you just flip that around. Flip that around. Just flip it around a minute, you know? It kind of like I heard a story, a guy bought a car. And he said he'd lived next door to this neighbor for 20-something years. And every time they buy a car, they sit out there and just, you know, talk about how stupid the purchase was and how what a piece of junk the car was. And he said he'd bought a car and his neighbor come over and said, yeah, you know, I heard about those things, you know, You buy them and finance them 60 months and 36 months. They ain't no good anyway, you know. And he's just tearing it, you know, tearing the car to pieces, tearing the car to pieces, tearing it up, tearing it up. And this guy's drinking buddy and everything, you know, all these, they'd fish together. And then all of a sudden, he'd gotten saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. So he's standing there and he goes, no, my car's blessed. The guy said something like, yeah, your differential will wear out in 50,000 miles, and this will happen after 20,000. And he goes, no, it's blessed. It's blessed. And the devourer is rebuked because I'm a tither. The guy never came over his house again. Now think about this. When he's over there going, it's a piece of junk, when the fruit of his lips was bitter, and you know what would happen? Oh, it's not going to last 50,000 miles. And you say, I agree. You know what? It doesn't matter if you don't even drive the car. You've already set something in motion by what? The fruit of your lips. Amen? And there's people say, I don't believe that. What do you say? You really don't? I believe you don't believe that.
Well, why is that?
Because you say it. And you say it. And you tell everybody a little less. I don't believe in people are crazy. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I won't take your money. Just won't take your money. I don't believe it. All that tithing. I don't believe it. Them tongues. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And you wonder why people's heads get so hard. What did Brother Hagin say? Like cement. Thoroughly mixed, permanently set. But you don't have to live like that. It can be the fruit of your lips giving thanks unto the Lord. And notice where men get off is where they just kind of view creation, the world, and they look around. And they're not even thankful they're alive. They're not even thankful they've been given life to exist upon the earth. They're not even thankful because without God giving permission, they could have not been born upon the earth because He is the Father of all spirits. And through procreation, God allows what is in the human family through procreation to happen. Let me just say this. I don't know who this is for. Don't you dare think you being here is an accident. I don't care how you got here. I think of James Robinson. Anybody know who James Robinson is? He's a wonderful minister. He helps those guys down in Freer, in Muy Grande, that do the ministry down there. James Robinson. He's had a worldwide television program for how many years? Maybe 30? You know his story? He's a rape baby. His mother was raped. Yeah. And just given up for a nobody, a nothing, a bastard. Look at him today. He's a man of God with a multi-million dollar ministry that blesses people all over the world. What can God do with one person that will trust Him? No matter how you started, that doesn't matter. How you start. You've started if you've gotten here. And if you've gotten here, and if you start, you have to know just by looking around that God loves you and that God cares you. And I guarantee you, that kind of heart that wakes up, God goes starts looking for them. I don't know why it doesn't wake up in others. I don't know. There are people that will not get saved, that will not turn to God, that will not have anything to do with God, that will die and go to hell willingly. They think that on this side. Amen. But the good news is, we can be thankful. Look what God's done for you. Well, I'm in pretty bad shape. You could be a whole lot worse, honey. You could be a whole... Quit looking at what you don't have, what you can't do, and start looking at what you do have and what you can do, and start getting real thankful. And you watch how life will change. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Stand on your feet. Praise the Lord. Are you thankful? Yes. Are you thankful you came to church? Yes. Hallelujah. All during the holidays this year, why don't you just practice that? Just be thankful for the food you get to eat, the people you get to be around. The experiences you get to have. You know, I mean, God, I didn't think that there was much enhancement left for me in life. I mean, big churches, all that kind of big... Listen, the ego thing and all that stuff, that's really not me. If you really get to know me, that's not me. I mean, I've seen enough of God's glory to last five lifetimes. I mean, God is so good. But lately, God has blessed me in several different areas that I've thought. And not, now listen to this. It's not just that he blessed me. He opened my eyes to what kind of blessing that it was. And I begin to realize, Lord, you've been planning this for a long time. A long time. And now I'm enjoying this. It blows me away. And I long for everyone to get to a place in life where when things begin to happen, especially if you gather a few years like I've gathered, and you're not just kind of looking forward to a rocking chair and writing books or doing something like that. I mean, that things will start happening for you that is God's hand on your life showing you, I'm not through with you. I've got some things that, you know, I'm going to show you some things now, but there's nothing compared to what I've got coming. Listen, here's what it does. It helps you understand that the expectancy of yesterday that brought you to today, that God has enhanced that expectancy in you because he wants to bring you to a better tomorrow. And that's where faith operates, and that's where you can get real thankful and offer him a sacrifice of praise for that which is coming. Let's just thank God for not for what's coming on this earth, church. No, no, no. What's coming into the church? What's coming for the believer? What's coming for your family, for you as an individual? What's coming for the plan of God in your life? What's coming for his healing power? What's coming for his ability to bless you and for you to be a blessing to others? Hallelujah. For you to be a blessing to, empowered by the Spirit of God, anointed by the giftings of God that is in your life. Hallelujah. The Word of God performed in your life. Fathers, we leave tonight. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for your name. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the empty tomb. Thank you for the city of heaven. Thank you for the angels. Thank you for men and women that teach and preach the gospel. Thank you for the miraculous, for the supernatural. Thank you for your protection. Psalms 91, no evil befalls, no plague comes nigh us. Thank you, Father, that you watch over us. Angels watch over us. That no accident, no strategy, no plan of the devil shall hinder or harm in any way. Thank you, Father, for a time during the year to celebrate Thanksgiving. We are thankful, Father, for our nation, for our state, for our city, for where we live. We're thankful for our friends, for our family, for our brothers and sisters in the kingdom. Thankful for our church. Thankful, Lord God, for our future. Thankful, Lord God, for all that you've given us, for all that you're doing and for all that shall be done. Thank you, Father, that a witness, a door of utterance for us, maybe one like we've never had before, will be opened this holiday season. That many of those that we interact with and just take for granted will see them again one day in life. Then we'll tell them. Then we'll share with them. Thank you, Father, that the urgency of the hour will be in our hearts. That evangelism will be stirred. That opportunities will be afforded that we will not miss. And that we, Lord, will be a blessing to people, an answer to their prayer, problem to the devil. Thank you, Father. We leave tonight walking in faith and love towards you. We love you so much. You've blessed us so much. Thank you, Lord God. We leave walking in love toward each other. Thank you for our church, those we do life together with. We leave tonight walking in faith, walking in love, and walking as the ambassadors of Christ you've called us to be. Thanking you, Lord, here at Island Church. We're covered by the blood, powered by the word, and anointed by the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com.